singing, by the way. Appreciate that. There are a number of things that we need to pray for. Patty, would you raise your hand, please? That's Patty. Patty needs a ride tomorrow. She has car problems. She needs to be picked up at the mechanics and then being brought back home. She's in Bayville. If you're able to help her tomorrow, please see Patty, okay? And hopefully we can get that worked out. The other thing I was saddened to hear about was that Patty's house up in New York burned down. Yeah. So, yeah, we're sad to hear about that. And so they're here. Nobody got hurt. That's a good thing. But that house was full of memories, I'm sure. I'm sure. So we need to pray, you know, for that. So why don't we go to prayer? I'm going to pray for the victims of those crashes and then, you know, for Patty and the loss of the house. It's hard. I can't even imagine it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that in Mike's and Patty's case, nobody was hurt in the house. We're sad that the house burned. They've been there for a lot of years. And but the memories don't have to perish with the house, Father. We are just asked that you work out all the details, comfort them, and just know that you are in control. And we pray, Father. We're thanking you that they have a residence down here and that we can have the blessing of their presence here. Pray that the car issues that Patty's experiencing would be resolved, and it would not be very expensive. But yet, Father, without a car down here, it's tough. And so we ask that you work out all those details. And Father, in these tragic accidents between the jet and the military helicopter and the medical jet, I just want to pray for the families of those who were killed in this tragic accident. Father, it's hard to understand. It's hard to work through it. And yet, Father, through it, I pray you bring comfort and peace as only you can to the families. And for the people on the medevac helicopter. A sad case. This was a juvenile and a mother and two physicians. And of course, a crew Father, that plane just came down. It was like a missile. We don't know what happened. But we ask that, Father, you bring clarity and closure to those impacted by this crash. Pray for those that were hurt on the ground. I know one life was lost, excuse me, on the ground, and there were 15 or 16 in the hospital, some in critical. We pray, and we lift that up before you. Father, help us never take anything for granted. Help us to know that every day is a gift. Help us to know, Father, that whatever happens, you are there for us. And so, Father, we commit these people to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I get a couple of people to help with the offering, please? I'm sorry, Butch, I was supposed to tell you that we were there. Okay. Let's pray. Father, as we give to the work of the church, open up more opportunities for us to say and preach and proclaim the gospel and then show the gospel in our lives by how we love each other and how we love others. Would you bless the offering, bless the gift and the giver? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're waiting on you for the offering, I moved the responsive reading to this point for a purpose. This is a reading from Romans. And I want you to listen to it carefully, because what we're going to be looking at today in Revelation 18 and 19 is the end of the tribulation. And this is a time of unparalleled judgment, unparalleled holiness, and unparalleled expectation. And you'll understand that. But the reason why I chose this verse is because no matter what happens in our world, and no matter where we are, if we're in a country that happens to be free like ours, or if we're in a country where it is a crime to be a Christian, this truth stands, and nobody can change it. So would you read these two verses with me, please? Here we go. This is from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that great? There's no condemnation. If you have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and truly repented of sin and put your faith in Him, that He paid the price on the cross in your place, the price that we deserve to pay, then it says, because of your belief, there's no condemnation. Wow. If Christ comes back today and your name's written in the book of life because you believe, you don't have to worry. Isn't that true? So I'm hoping He comes back today. How about you? I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't have to teach this afternoon, right? But I'd be okay with that. If you can, turn to Revelation 18. We're going to start at verse 9. Andrew, can you bring me to verse 9 on that? And I'm going to go through this rather quickly. You can read a lot of this on your own. Don't shy away from Revelation. It's a book of worship. And it starts out with worship, doesn't it? And it ends with worship. But there's some house cleaning that has to be done in between. Punxsutawney Phil says we got 6 more weeks of winter. Again, I don't trust him. But, you know, when springtime comes around, you hear terms like, you know, I got to do my spring cleaning. You dust the walls, the fans, the ceiling, you know, whatever you do for spring cleaning. But I find that the most terrible part of cleaning, not that I do it, Mary Lou's good with this, is when you have to clean out the refrigerator. And you find food of different colors and different odors in the refrigerator. But you got to clean it out. You could actually get sick from that stuff if you're not careful, right? But you got to clean it out. Listen, if you get nothing from today, what the tribulation does, and I don't believe the church will be here for the tribulation, will be with Christ in heaven, but those who are left behind, people will come to know Christ. Some people will. Some Jews will. And we'll talk about that in detail next week. But in the meantime, people are sinning high-handedly. You saw after the judgments how people, instead of repenting, and God gave them the chance, instead of repenting, they curse God. Well, I got news for you. If you curse God, you ain't winning. Okay? And you're up against somebody who loves you and you curse them. Someone who died for you and you curse them. And that's a very dangerous position to be in. God has given, through the tribulation, many chances for people to come and repent, come to faith in Him. He does that today, by the way, doesn't He? You're not here by accident. And He wants all people to come to Him. But somehow in our arrogance and in our deep-seated sinfulness, instead of taking Him up on His offer, we still choose to curse Him. We want life our way. We want life the way we want it, not the way God says we should live it. And that presents a problem. Sin is a stench in God's nose. I'm not making that up. The Bible says it. Sin is a stench. When sin goes unchecked and unconfessed, it's as if we are food going bad. And it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. And some people, when we come to this, they'll say, well, God is too harsh. No, He's not. He's given us ample opportunity. He gave Noah 120 years to preach for people to come to repentance, and they still curse God. And it was only him and his family that were saved. God has given us roughly about 5,000 years to repent and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And yet we still want to disregard Him and the salvation. You see, we want to come to God on our terms, not His. But the Bible says we got to come on His terms, and that's repentance and faith in what Jesus did on the cross in my place and yours. So let's go through this. I'm going to bring you through this fairly rapidly. This is talking about Babylon. This is talking about the world system, the godless system, the system that wants no part of God, like today, and wants to continue in the lustful things of their eyes, the lustful things in their flesh, and the boastful pride of life. The system, the world system that's fueled by Satan, by the way, is one of narcissism. It's all about me. It's all about me. You don't matter. It's all about me, right? And we see this reflected in our culture in a number of ways, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Believe me, there are people who will say, oh, you know, I have a lot of hope in mankind. You know, things are going to get better. I got news for you. They're not. They're only going to get worse, which makes it even more important that you and I invite people to come to know Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 9. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery, that is, they worship other things than God, with her, meaning the world system, or Babylon as it's called here, and shared her luxury, see the smoke of a burning, they will weep over her. Their whole world will collapse. This is what they live for. They live for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I wonder if Las Vegas shut down today and all the casinos in the country shut down today, how many people would mourn that loss rather than the loss of a soul because we haven't proclaimed the gospel? You see, the Babylon was portrayed as a harlot, that she seduced the leaders of the world. It's happening now. That she seduced the leaders of the world to her lusts, her desires for power. And if you do things her way and you bear the mark of the beast, you'll be okay. Until God judges it. And here we are. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off. This is talking about the kings. Woe to you, great city. You mighty city of Babylon, in 1 hour your doom has come. We haven't seen this mentality since probably the Great Depression, where in a relatively short period of time, the economic structure of this country crashed. And people committed suicide. They mourned because life was going to change. In some instances, this happened at 9/11 also, when the World Trade Towers were hit. Was the financial center of the world. And people mourned and they wept. I wonder if they wept more for the loss of life or more for the loss of income. And it goes on to say, the cargoes of gold, silver, precious metals, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, articles of every kind of ivory, wood, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. This is a whole industry. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, incense, myrrh, and frankincense. That should sound familiar, right? Of wine, olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, human beings sold as slaves. Isn't that happening now? Right? They will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. It is done. You see, when God acts, he acts decisively. Merchants who sold these things and gained wealth from her, meaning the world system, will stand off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out. Woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In 1 hour, did you catch that? In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Wow. You know, I'm hearing more often, especially as we get older, not that some of you here are as old as me, most of you are younger, that in a moment, life can change. We all know that. We don't like to think about it, but in a moment, life can change. We're talking about here the implosion of a world system that has disregarded God. In fact, tried to suppress him, tried to bury him. Listen, I am sorry, but we're dangerously close to that. Look at this. Every industry is infected. Every sea captain, all who travel by ship, the sailors, and all who will earn their living from the sea will stand off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and weep and mourn and cry out, woe, woe to you, great city. Where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought through ruin. Wow. In 1 hour. Remember, God said, I come as a thief in the night. When he brings judgment, final judgment, and this is not even the final, it comes swift. It comes swift. And then there's the rejoicing. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets, for God has judged the world system and the city it operates out of with the judgment she has imposed on you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. I don't know how big a millstone is. Does anybody know? I don't know, but I know when a large stone that we call meteorites drops out of space at a velocity of 37 to 40,000 miles per hour. It can come with great destruction. It's like a million atom bombs. With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. Wow. I mean, there's no going back here, right? The music of the harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. Whoa. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The only light is the word of God. Right? The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will never be heard again. In other words, you know, the life has changed. There's not even going to be any more marriage. Merchants were the world's most important people. Seems to be true today, doesn't it? By your magic spell, all nations were led astray. Even the merchants, the world leaders, were led astray by the great harlot that we call the world system. In her was found the blood of the prophets. This is an old story. You don't like the message, get rid of the messenger. Kill the messenger. Makes the message go away. If there's anything you learn about Revelation, the gospel will never die. The person and work of Jesus Christ is and must be the center of everything we do as a church and as a people of God. And as long as we have breath and as long as we are on this earth, we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only hope. He is the only hope. Our hope, again, you've heard me say this many times, is not in Washington, D.C. Our hope is not in our economic system. Our hope, our real hope, is only in Jesus Christ. And that's it, right? All of who have been slaughtered on the earth. We killed the prophets. We killed God's people. In the Sudan, I've told you this before, every 8 minutes there's a believer killed because they follow Christ. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven. There was a celebration in heaven. You would say, how could there be a celebration in heaven with all this killing and all of this going on? Very simple. The rottenness of sin is now cleared out, because that had to be cleared out before the coming of the king. That makes sense? That had to be cleared out before the coming of the king. And so we have a worship service going on. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. In other words, God judged this way. They are right. They are true because he is holy. And didn't come as a surprise, he said, for many centuries and many millennia, this is going to happen. Come to me. And people still failed. He has condemned the great prostitute, the world system, who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged her blood, her blood on his servants. In other words, judgment came for killing the prophets and the saints. Again, they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 24 living creatures, they did what? Fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. This happened at the beginning of Revelation, didn't it? When they worshiped in heaven, when John was given that great vision, we're told the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped. Amen, hallelujah, they shouted. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, who you, you who fear Him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roaring rush of waters, and loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. For fine linen and bright and clean was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." And the last verse. Then an angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." You know, in a couple of weeks, we're supposed to do a recommitment of wedding vows for Lorraine and Tommy. And those vows, I think, are more important than people think. Okay? And here, this is a wedding supper. Now, I'll give you my theology on this, and you can differ with it, and you're welcome to differ with it, but I believe the wedding of the church and Jesus is going to happen the moment He raptures the church. That's when the actual wedding happens. After these 7 years of tribulation, that's when the reception happens. This is going to be a reception like you've never seen. One of the receptions that I went to, it's a restaurant right on the river up in Point Pleasant. I can't remember the name of it. They had an hors d'oeuvre hour before the reception officially started. I thought it was the main meal. I mean, you want for everything. You ain't seen nothing yet. This feast is going to be an incredible feast. You know why? Because all the rotten food was thrown out. It was dealt with. And now the king is coming. There's still one battle ahead, by the way. And that's the battle we call Armageddon at the end of the 1,000-year reign. But you know what? Battle's not going to be a problem for God. Not going to be a problem for Jesus. And we'll look at that next week. But I want you to kind of meditate on this as we come to the Lord's table. And I'll ask those who serving if you would come up now. How good and gracious God has been to us. It's amazing that people will focus on God's judgments in the Bible. And gee, the God of the Old Testament seems to be harsher than the God of the New. That's not true. God is God. He never changes. But what is true is this, that God gives everybody more than a fair chance to come and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So as we come to the Lord's table, I don't want to come lightly to it. Paul says we have to examine ourselves. We need to confess sin, get the garbage out of our lives, the rottenness out of our lives, before we partake. And it's the time where we as a church can come to a table. It's not my table, it's the Lord's table, where we can have fellowship with Him, knowing that this is the same Lord who died for me, who died for you. I didn't deserve it, but He did it. And we're to confess and repent and ask the Holy Spirit's help to keep from sinning. It's a look back at the cross, and then it's a look forward to His second coming. And we're at the point of revelation now. We're on the verge of His second coming. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen tonight. I don't know. And if anybody tells you they know, they're lying. So I'm going to ask that the bread be passed out. And as the bread is passed out, would you hold it? We'll partake together. but use this time for self-examination, and use this time for confession and repentance, and then we'll partake together. Paul in Corinthians, gives these instructions. On the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he still went forth in love and ministered. It says he broke bread and said that this bread was symbolic of his body, which would be broken for sinners like you and me, as part of the payment for sin. He said, when you eat this, would you remember Jesus and his broken body on the cross? Would you eat, please? We'll pass out the cup. Would you hold it, please, and we'll partake together. Jesus took one of the cups of the Last Supper. There were five of them total. Probably took the cup of redemption. And he took the cup and used it as a lesson for the apostles. And he said, this cup represents his blood. His blood that was shed so that his love ran red and their sin would be washed white. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus, in love, went to the cross and shed his blood because he loves you and me. All we need to do is believe that with our whole heart, soul, mind, and might. he said to his disciples, "When you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." We're going to wait upon you now for the benevolence fund, if you feel led to give to that. And I'll ask Melissa to come up as we cue up the last song. You know, life can get hectic sometimes. We can get, unfortunately, consumed by worry, circumstances. People can aggravate us, right? Nobody here, but right? But people can aggravate us. And I always come back to this in my own life because I know those things can draw me farther away from my relationship with Jesus because they can be so distracting and so emotional. This song I play over and over in my head every day because it's the prayer of my heart. Not always successful at this, but I remind myself of it. Draw me close to you. Would you stand, please?
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause no one else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find my way, bring me back to you.
Amen. Yeah. Please don't forget the need for Patty and Mike for a ride tomorrow to get the car fixed. If you can help out, see them after the service. And help me thank Melissa for leading us in music today.
Glad to help out.
Thank you all for coming. I love all of you. Let's pray. Father, would you release us in the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us to know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. Nothing that we did, but it's all of what you did for us. Bless the people, Father. Bless us as we go forth, and help us to share the gospel with others. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Have a good day.